So it's the birthday of the church. What we need to do is we need to say happy birthday to one another. Oh, come on, let's live in the spirit here this morning. Happy birthday, church. And it's not quite the birthday party you would want, really, is it? We've all come here in the building. We've all got masks except me, and you're all sat there, and you can't eat cake. But I think this morning we can get excited about Pentecost. And I think we should get excited about the church. I don't know if you love the church, or whether church is something you endure. I want to say I love the church. It's God's great idea. Okay? Sometimes it's tough because it's family, but God's church is absolutely amazing. There was a woman who asked J. John what he did, and he's a vicar. Rather than say he was a vicar, he talked about the fact that he was working for a global organization who have branches in every country, who are involved in education and famine relief and specializes in behavioral alteration. Amen? Perhaps some of us need that this morning. But you see, the thing is, the church is global. The church is amazing. It started, as we read in the day of Pentecost. Well, it started with Jesus, obviously, but the day of Pentecost, 120 people get filled with the Holy Spirit. They go out, and thousands of people get saved. And today, the church is comprised of billions of people. Can you get that? And you, okay, you get this morning, you are part of the church. Should you feel good about that? Yes. That God has invited you, God has called you. You are one of his children. And so you are part of this church. And I think that's amazing. And this morning, we're going to finish our series about the church. We've talked about the fact that we are being called to worship. And should be a slide going up. We are called to be members of this church, the family of God. We are called to be disciples, to become mature in our faith. We are called to minister. But we're also called to share Jesus. And today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about our vision as a church. And you'll see on the wall, if your eyes are good, if they're not so good, you maybe need to get closer. But it says we are called Vision 2020, and it's still our Vision 2021, is that we are to know, follow, and share Jesus. And that will be my challenge to you this morning. Do you know Jesus? Are you following him? Are you sharing with him? And do you know what? This week I had a little investigation at the hospital. I won't say any more because I know some of you are quite squeamish. I had a little investigation at the hospital, and they send you a thing afterwards which says, well, how do you rate the service? Would you recommend this to your friends and family? I'm thinking I would not recommend the investigation I've had to my enemies, to be honest. But they were saying, on a score of 1 to 5, what do you think? I'm going to ask you this morning, if you were to score, perhaps we shouldn't do this with spiritual things, but if you were to score your spiritual life when it comes to knowing Jesus, 5 is that you are best buddies, you hang out, you're talking to him all day, you know him so well. And 1 is, well, I'm not really doing very well, me and Jesus. We're not really talking much. I'm not really hearing his voice very much. How about following Christ? Which implies that you will be replicating his life. You'll be trying to do the things he wants you to do. How are you doing when it comes to following? Or are you a bit like my dog? Who decides he's going to wander over there, and you're calling and you're calling, and next minute he's over there and he's calling and calling. And, you know, he hasn't heard the word come yet, which is a bit disappointing when he's 10 months old. But are you a bit like that when it comes to Christ, that you're not following, you're just doing your own thing, yet you claim to be a follower of Jesus? And then lastly, we've got this thing about sharing. Sharing Jesus has been so hard, hasn't it, to be able to share your faith with others. But how is that going when it comes to your Christian life? And I know this lockdown has been tough. I was reading something on the BBC website. It talked about lockdown. And this woman, her name is... Oh, it's not my notes. Her name is Dr. Julie. I don't know what her surname is. She says this: after a long period of not doing much, we can become lethargic. Not exercising or socializing as much as you might normally will have an impact on flattening your mood and your effort. Flattening your mood and your effort. And maybe that's where you feel you're at. That actually what lockdown has done is it's kind of flattened your life. It says this, it goes on to say, action creates energy. So once we start to do more, we will feel the energy that goes with that. But bringing yourself to that point can be quite difficult. And I think as I look at the church, I think there are some who have really lost. And I look this word up, mojo. It is a word in the English language. I think some of us have just lost our mojo when it comes to God and the things of God and following Christ and sharing with Christ. And I think I look around and see, yeah, people have become lethargic. And I feel today that what we need to do is we need to see, to hear the call of Scripture, which says, wake up, O sleeper. Wake up, O sleeper. Come on. Because for me, as I look ahead, I see so many opportunities that the church is going to be presented to reach out, to share the love of Christ with people. And what we don't need is we don't need a church who's fast asleep. We need a church that is awake and alive. And that includes you and me being alive to God and alive to His Spirit. So this morning, we're going to do no, follow, share, okay? And we're going to just look at what is demanded. Yeah, I would say demanded of us by Christ. Firstly, that we know Jesus in a deeper way. And I think it's really true, isn't it? When we look at lockdown, relationships have been affected. Some people, you know, their family has really come together and knitted them together and they spent lots of time together. And it's been a really positive thing. For others, lockdown has meant relationships, the cracks have been exposed. And perhaps people aren't getting on so well. And that comes to, it's true with our relationship with God as well. I think lockdown has exposed our spiritual lives. And for some, we have really felt the presence of God and we've enjoyed fellowship with God like never before because life has all been stripped back. But for others of us, perhaps our relationship with Christ has really suffered. And what we need to realize is that our faith is not just a set of mental beliefs. It is a relationship. And any relationship requires work. I listen to the Bible every day. I'm up to day 144. I haven't missed a day. Hallelujah. And I'm really pleased with myself. Sorry, shouldn't have too much pride. But actually, this week we were looking at the Gospel of John. And it says this. Jesus said in John chapter 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And we go, yes, Jesus knows me. And then it says this, and my sheep know me. Wow, that's a challenge, isn't it? Do we really recognize the voice and the presence of Jesus in our life? And it does, it takes commitment. If we're to go deeper in our Christian faith, we need to give God time in our lives. And I would challenge you this morning, how much time are you investing? And that's the word I would use, investing in your relationship with Christ. I've noticed that at my age, when we have people around, people of similar age sit around a dinner table, there's always a subject that comes up. It's not grandchildren yet, but one day it may be. But the subject that always comes up is pensions. Isn't that sad? You know, sitting around and you can sort of almost gauge your life. You know, you're talking about kids one day, next day you're talking about pensions and when you're going to finish work. I don't know how many times I've been asked that question, which is quite worrying, really, because you almost sense, you know, people are trying to move me on. But actually, we always have this pension, this thing about pensions, and it's how much have you put in your pot? And you always say, not enough. Tracy's going to have to work till she's at least 70, I promise you. That's a joke, by the way, okay? If you were worried. But but it's that investment, isn't it? What we put in now, we will reap the benefits. And the same is true of our relationship with Jesus. How much time do we really give to God? How much time? Philippians 3, this is a great verse. Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. I want to know Christ. And in the chapter, he's basically saying everything else was rubbish compared to knowing Jesus. I wonder how many of us could say that because of a relationship we have with our Saviour. I'm going to move on because we need to talk about following Jesus. Jesus, when he was walked the earth, he called his disciples. Do you know how many times he called people to follow him? It's reckoned that probably 23 times Jesus mentions following him. 13 times specifically, he says, follow me. And we know that Jesus didn't call people to an easy walk. Says in Mark 8, verse 34, it says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's not particularly attractive, is it? It's tough being a Christian. It's hard following Christ. But what Jesus is looking for is he's looking for your obedience, your devotion, your courage to step out and do things for him. And what it means to follow Jesus is to actually replicate his life, to copy what he did. It's interesting, when rabbis were calling their disciples, what the disciples used to do, they used to still watch them all the time. They were so intent, watching, because if that's what the rabbi does, that's what I'm going to do. And it said in one of the commentaries I read, it said that actually it is recorded that one of the disciples decided, not Jesus' disciples, but another rabbi, that they would actually follow the rabbi to the toilet to see how he performed, if you like. And another one hid under his bed where him and his wife slept because he wanted to know how you would sleep, I suppose, or how you would talk to your wife before you go to sleep. You see, people, the disciples just wanted to know what the rabbi did, what the master did, so that they could replicate his attitudes, his behavior. And in a way, we have to look at the life of Jesus. We have to see what he calls us to, and we have to do those things. Obedience, as I've said, I've got a puppy. Obedience is so hard, but we're getting there. We will get there. It's even harder with people, isn't it? Because actually, I know when I've talked to you about obedience, something in you, perhaps the child in you says, no, don't talk to me about obeying. I don't want to obey, because each one of us perhaps have a bit of a rebellious spirit. But Christ calls us to follow him, to obey him. And you know, your obedience is actually a sign of your love for him. And so if you're following Christ, you are obeying him, you're showing actually your love for him, which he knows and other people can see. So we are to know, to follow, and lastly, to share. I want to talk about two things when it comes to sharing. Firstly, is about speaking, and Stuart covered this so well last week. If you were here, you got a great message on how we are to share Jesus with others by speaking out the gospel, because God has put us on mission. And it says in 1 Peter that we are be prepared to speak to others about our faith, to give a reason. That's 1 Peter 3, verse 15. And you know, today is Pentecost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, got three hallelujahs over this side. You need to warm up a bit over this side. But hallelujah is Pentecost. And Pentecost, Jesus promised that the disciples would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It's interesting, isn't it? Because I think for lots of people today, I feel they want to know the Holy Spirit in their life. Why? Because they want to feel good. They want nice, warm fuzzies. But what Jesus said to his disciples is, actually, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you're going to be propelled into action. You're going to have to go and speak to all these people about me. And you will come up before the Sanhedrin. You're going to be put in prison because you're telling other people about Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit wasn't there to make them feel nice. Maybe they did. But ultimately, the Holy Spirit was to equip them to speak out about the gospel of Jesus. God wants to equip his people to follow him, but also to speak out for him. You see, the Holy Spirit is not given for your pleasure. It's not some kind of drug you have, but it's the empowering of God that the church of God might move out and be a witness to the world. I wonder if you're really ready for that. Because so often we just say, Lord, fill me. And I think God would say, fill you for what? So you can sit down and do nothing. Last thing I want to talk about is serving. God has called us to serve him. It says in Ephesians 2, I'm going to read this because I think this is really key. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance to do. I've been speaking to Emma about the book of Ephesians. She's really excited about the book of Ephesians. And she keeps saying to me, it's not written to individuals. It's written to the church. And she's right. Okay. Well, Emma's right most of the time, I have to say. But it says, we are God's workmanship. We are God's. So you guys are God's workmanship. Don't you feel good about yourself? Yeah. Look at you. To do good works that God has prepared in advance for us. But I also, as a preacher, have to say this is individual. That we are called as individuals. We have been created in Christ. Get that picture. To do good works, which God has got ready for you. The other day, as I was walking my dog, I saw a man in some overalls. And that fascinated me. Okay, because I thought, I know that guy. And he hasn't got that kind of job, 9 to 5. I think he wears a suit and all that kind of thing. But on this day, I saw him in some overalls. And you know what? I realized that this man took his DIY so seriously that he would get dressed up to do DIY. Now, as being someone who is useless at DIY and hates DIY, the thing I would not have is a set of overalls to put on and go out and do DIY. I'm just going to, for those online, I'm just going to ask people in the building, does anybody who does DIY have their own overalls to do it? Oh yeah, we got a few. But you see, what I realised was this guy took that job seriously. And I felt the Spirit of God say, you know, actually, that's what I want for my people. Maybe to volunteer in such a way, but you take it so seriously that you put on, you get ready, and you give it your very best. Because God is calling his church to serve. And as I look ahead as elder and pastor of this church, I see there are so many opportunities, so many things that God wants us as his church to be doing. And I would challenge you today about what you are doing with your life. Maybe you have become lethargic. Maybe you've lost your mojo. But you know, God is calling you to serve him. You just need to work out where that is to be. I listened to a really challenging message this week. It was about whether we are consumers or contributors. And that is so true in church, isn't it? Do we just come and consume? Do we feed on the words that we hear, feed on the worship that we enjoy? Or are we contributing to the kingdom of God through our service? And I have to warn you, once you get involved, it will be costly. It will take your time and energy. But what a blessing You see, we're talking about sharing Jesus with people. And when we serve, we share Jesus. We are his hands and we are his feet. We can be his voice. And it's my prayer that each of us steps up and does what God has called us to do. And you know, it will bless your life. It will bless your life because that's the way God works. I was watching a video the other day. It was on Facebook. I found it really amusing. It was of a football match. And the headline was, Father buys football club and then allows his son to play on his football team. The only thing is, this is in a China, it's in a Chinese, proper Chinese league with the stadium. The only thing is, his son is grossly overweight and cannot play football. So basically, the camera just follows him around. He's wandering around, and trying to kick it. He can't kick it any kind of distance. He doesn't run anywhere. And people are just giving him the ball just because dad owns the club. And I thought to myself, do you know, there's no way he should be on the pitch. There is no way he should be there. But actually, his father has got him involved and wants him to be there, despite the fact that perhaps he doesn't have the capabilities. I feel for some of us, and I don't mean to be rude by this, but maybe you felt, actually, I'm not up to that. I couldn't serve in children's ministry. I couldn't serve in youth ministry. But I want to say to you, the father owns the club, and he wants to put you on the team. It's whether you will step out and be on the pitch. Also read this week about Elvis Presley. Do you know, Elvis Presley is now probably earning more money dead than he was when he was alive. That's quite amazing, isn't it? It's reckoned that in 2019, Elvis Presley's income was $23 million. It's not bad for a dead man, is it? But what Elvis has done is, and not only Elvis, John Lennon, Freddie Mercury, Michael Jackson, all these people have left huge legacies. Do you know, one day we all pass from this world into God's kingdom. My question will be, what is the legacy that you will leave? What will be the things that are left behind? And it may be something solid, it may be a building or something like that, but maybe it will be in people's lives, because you've invested in their life and you have given yourself to serve God. My prayer is that each of us will leave a legacy for God. I'm going to finish with a video, and it's fun video. You're allowed to laugh, okay? So I'm going to ask Munya to play the video. Here we go. Fun. But when I first saw it, I thought, you know, that's just like God's hand out to us, isn't it? And maybe this morning God is reaching out into your life. How do you respond to him this morning? Are you like that child which you all laughed at and you're not interested, Father? Are you accepting his hand? Accepting his call? Because God wants his church to rise up, to be the people of God, to be the hope of the world. And it takes each one of us to hear the call of God and respond to it. And I pray this morning that as a church we would really come to know Jesus, follow Jesus, and then share him with others. Let's pray together, shall we? I'm going to ask you to stand. You've been sat down for some time. Let's just be still in the presence of God. Maybe in the silence you just speak to your Heavenly Father, reach out to him as he reaches out to you. And ask you today just to offer your life afresh to him, to surrender to him, to be like the prophet Isaiah saying, "Here am I, send me." Father, we thank you for your call this morning. And as your people, Father, we hear your words. We have heard your voice. And now, Father, as your people, we give ourselves afresh to you today. We commit ourselves to know you, to spend time in your presence. We give ourselves afresh to follow you. And we give ourselves to share you with others, to speak your words into people's lives, but to serve you and them with the love and power you've given us. And now, Father, we ask that you would send your Spirit upon us again, in a fresh and mighty way, that your Spirit would come and equip us and empower us and fill us with love and power and strength. Spirit of God, we pray you would come and do only what you can do. Amen.